Hey, this is Mindy, and you are listening to Bring It Radio right here at the Fishbowl Radio Network in the Gospel Bowl here in Arlington, Texas. And I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today, I just really want to welcome Charlie and Karen Tackett, which are dear friends of mine and my family's. And they have a ministry that is really cool. They travel across the United States. Have you made it global yet?
We made it global over Facebook and email, but not physically.
Not physically. Well, I don't know if you want to. You know, some of the I hear some of the flying is not so much fun. But This is, anyways. Their ministry is called Christ Kingdom Ministry, and so as we're talking, if you're just like, oh, I'd love to know more about that, or I'd like to have a way to email them, they have a website as well. It is www.welovepastors.org. And so that's a great way to go read up on what they're doing and be able to be in the know and maybe send them some feedback. So, Charlie and Karen, thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Mindy. It's just an exciting thing to come and visit with you about what we're doing. We're so excited. We started this ministry in September of 1999. The Lord told us, he said, I want you to go and love my pastors and encourage them. And I will have to admit to you, I said, now, Lord, I've never heard of anything like this before. Well, truth be known, I haven't heard very much about it since then. But I said, but who, what denomination? And he said, cross denominational lines, they are all my pastors. Mm-hmm. I want you to go to them personally at their house in their town and love and encourage them. Well, I didn't know what I was doing. Karen didn't know what she was doing, but he gave us a few names and he said, start with these. And so we took off on a trip and we went to their homes and took them out to dinner, and people looked at us like, traveling is expensive. Eating out is expensive. Mm-hmm. But if the Lord sends you, he's going to provide. Mm-hmm. And he said, don't you dare take a pastor to a McDonald's. Find a nice restaurant and take them, because chances are this is the only night out they will have. They can't afford to go out to eat. And so we started doing that. And there was one family in Mississippi. They had four kids, and we went and said, well, Friday night I invited the kids to go to the pizza house. And we decided that since Mom and Dad were being good, we'd let them go too. And so they don't have services on Sunday night, so on Sunday night we took care of the kids with a babysitter and whatever supper they wanted, and we took Mom and Dad to Outback Steakhouse. And one of the kids said, Mom, I want to go. And she said, no, this is my night. Mm-hmm. And then we realized it had been a long, long time since she and her husband had had a date night, because with four kids, they couldn't afford it. And so we had such a blast of being able to provide for this pastor and his wife. But that's what we've done over the years. And I cannot tell you how many pastors and families we've taken out to dinner, but we never did run out of money, because the Lord always provided. Mm-hmm. And it was so neat. Now, there's one thing about our business cards and our letterhead that I've got to tell you. As long as I've known you, I don't know if I've told you this or not.
I don't know.
We were at home, and Karen was working on these, and I went in the living room, and I said, Lord, I've got a problem. Karen is making the biggest mess back there you ever saw. And he started chuckling. Never heard God laugh at me before, but I did that day. He said, if you'll stay in the living room, she can hear me better and do what I'm telling her to do. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So I sat down and I picked up a book and started reading. And about an hour later, she comes walking into the living room and says, what do you think? And I said, looks great, looks great. I wasn't about to tell her no. But it's interesting that 15 years later, we're still using the same business card and same letterhead, because as I got to looking at it, she did an awesome job. How did she do an awesome job? She listened to the Lord and did what he told her to do.
I thought you were going to say that she went to a class and she learned all about it.
No.
But it's so interesting, and throughout our broadcast today, you will hear us talking about hearing God's voice and obeying His commands. Mm-hmm. That's what the Christian life needs to be about. And the only problem we found with that is that the majority of the people that do not hear God's voice, they are afraid of what He's going to tell them to do. They want to stay in control of their lives. And if you're going to walk with Jesus, you've got to let Him be in control. And so every trip we go on, it's because God said, pack your bags and leave on this date. And we confirm it with each other. I do not walk off without checking with her. And she will share with me, that's the same thing God told me 2 weeks ago. And I said, 2 weeks ago? She said, yeah, I needed more time to get ready than you did. And it's just, you know, but it is such an exciting life of walking with Jesus and being obedient. And so anytime that we get up, last night we decided to go out to dinner. And she asked me, she said, am I fixing dinner here? Or are we going out? And I said, I don't know. I'm working on it. Well, we went out to dinner. And this restaurant we went to, the three girls that were servers in that restaurant, they were our appointments for the night to love and encourage them. And Father sent us there. Mm-hmm. It's a fun life. We have a blast. But one of the things that I would like for Karen to talk about is our adopted children and grandchildren. And now, you know, you got to understand, she's the mama, so she knows a whole lot more about this than I do.
Well, one thing I wanted to share too was when I was making the card and the letterhead, it's Christ Kingdom Ministries. Well, at the time, the Lord had only told us about pastors, about ministering to pastors. Mm-hmm. But He told me ministries. I thought, okay, He's got a bigger picture here. And sure enough, on our card now are four different areas of ministry. Started off with pastors. But one of the areas is spiritually adopt children. And so over the years, as we go, the Lord gives us children and grandchildren to spiritually adopt, which means we begin praying for them right then. And we love them unconditionally. And many of them do not have a good parental or grandparent relationship, or their parents have passed away. Grandparents aren't close. And that is so important, so needed. And over the years, we've realized how needed that parents, yes, but that grandparent love too, because we have almost more grandchildren than we do children. But over the years, the Lord has brought to us that we have spiritually adopted, begun praying for her every day, almost 400.
Wow.
And I stay in touch with many, many of them. That's what I use, Facebook and email, texting, you know. Especially the grandkids are good at texting. That's just their thing. I had to learn how to text. I was not real proficient on the phone. But that has been such a delight to us, because to unconditionally love them, to pray for them, and trust them in God's hands. The Lord taught that to us when our son went in the military. And was gone. And it's like, you know, when your children are at home, you have some control and protection you can give. But when your children leave home, you have to trust God. I mean, that is a big lesson that I learned that I would pray and just say, Lord, he's yours. You know where he is. You know what his needs were. And especially being in the military, he was in many places. And many times we didn't know. But we just prayed and trusted the Lord. And he was so faithful because he brought him home each time. And he cared for him during the many years he was there. But as we adopt children, I stay in touch. They know we love them and we're here for them anytime.
We've been asked, how did you start this adoption process? And the thing that I've told them, I didn't start it. I just work with it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they always look at me kind of funny. And I say, if you stop and think about it, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, God adopts you into his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just furthering the adoption process. And she was talking about, you know, the parents and grandparents too many times are critical of their kids and grandkids when the kids and grandkids are grown. Our job, you are a grown woman. My job is not to raise you. My job is to love you. And we find that that works so good. And so we spend a lot of time with parents and grandparents telling them, your kids are grown. You need to release them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working with one. Now she's wanting to hold on to her daughter. And we said, mm-mm. You can't do that. She's a grown woman. You've taught her right from wrong and good from bad. Now back off and spend time praying for her. But that's what the Lord told us to do with our son and our daughter. And it has paid dividends for you and your kids. You're still raising them. That's a good thing. But the day will come when they're grown and you need to release them and encourage them. Not critique them, but encourage them. And it really does work because we have kids and grandkids that just migrate to us. And you say, well, you know, it's an awful lot of trouble here.
Yeah, I was wanting just to tell our listeners that whenever you talk about the sheer number and you talk about them texting you or Facebooking you or whatever, I'm sure some people are listening going, okay, I can't keep track of my own family. That sounds awful. Something I have seen with you through the years is that, you know, like I've Facebooked you, Karen, in the middle of the night before. Mm-hmm. It was 1 or 2 in the morning, and God appointed that.
Yes.
God had
yes.
you awake at that time mm-hmm. to talk to me, to encourage me. It wasn't mm-hmm. like you stay up until 4 every single night because somebody might write you. You know, that's like right. you rest that's in the right. fact that God is going to direct your steps. God's mm-hmm. going to direct your sleep and your mm-hmm. eating and where you're
yes.
going and all of that so that mm-hmm. His fullness and his being enough allows yes. you to be in the places yes. he wants you to right. do that ministry.
Yes.
Well, and we tell our kids and grandkids on a regular basis, and people are going to say, that is dangerous. But we tell them, if you call us at 2:00 in the morning, we will wake up and talk to you. And we have had that happen a number of times. We have one daughter that she has this attitude that she's the favorite daughter. Well, I'm not going to contest her. She would take me down. But she's a midwife. And if she's at a birth and there is a struggle happening, she picks up the phone and calls me whatever time of night it is and says, Papa, I need you to pray for me. We're having trouble. Got to go. Click. Mm-hmm. She knows that Karen and I will wake up and will pray. And so many times, things start happening within a minute.
Mm.
And things turn around in that birth, and that baby comes forth. Well, other times, she's called me, and she said, I'm struggling at a birth, but I'm struggling not with the mom. I'm struggling with me. I need to hear your voice. I need you to talk to me. And that'll be the last word she says. And I sit there, and I say whatever the Lord gives me to say until he says, okay, that's enough. Hang up.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell her, I says, I got to go. Talk to you later. I love you. Bye. Okay, probably one of the biggest things of that conversation is, I love you. She needs to hear, I love you. And so it doesn't make any difference to us whether they're kids or grandkids. If they want to talk to us, we're available. If they wake us up during the middle of the night, we can sleep late the next morning. It is not a problem. And just like you were talking about, getting on the computer with Karen, she was there that day when you needed her. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we've talked about this over the years. You know that. We've got one granddaughter in the University of Houston that on Friday night, about 9:30, she Skypes with me and Karen. And she's a freshman down there. And there's times when other girls in the dormitory will be saying, well, let's go hang out or let's go get some pizza. Let's do that. And she said, nope, I got to talk to my grandparents. And they look at her and say, you got to be kidding. No, I talked to my grandparents on Sunday night. This is a part of her week, and she is not going to back off. Do you think I'm going to tell her no? I don't think so. We are available for her.
But it's because of the unconditional love.
Yes.
And it's because of Jesus. Like she knows that all the things that are going on in her life, while she can sit and she can just tell you about it, and she can either cry or she can laugh or she
That's
can
right.
go wherever she needs to with it, that it's not time wasted, because she's not going to leave more wounded
right.
than whenever she first came, because you guys are always praying and asking Jesus' love to flow through you
yes.
to them and to her. And so I'm not surprised that she makes it such a priority, because
right.
apparently at this season of her life, she needs some people that are loving and understanding hands, you know, that are being mm-hmm. Jesus's hands
yes.
and feet, being
mm-hmm.
his ears, being his, you know, because it's wonderful to be able to hear directly from God. I mean, it's an amazing gift.
Yes, it is.
And sometimes whenever you're struggling in your mind, though, with certain, you're being attacked or something, you start doubting if, was
yes.
that really him, or
yeah.
or am I really supposed to go this way? And so whenever you have somebody else that you can bounce off of and you can say, you know, I think I heard God say this. You've been praying for me. Have you heard God say anything? Then you have the ability, you know, to gather wisdom and not get lost in your own little.
Well, there is a caricature. And many of us have seen this about this man or woman walking down the street. And on one shoulder is an angel and on the other shoulder is a little devil. There is more truth than fiction to that because Satan is trying to tell you no. Let's say, for instance, you're walking down the street and you're going by a clothing shop and you see in the window this beautiful dress that would look awesome on you. And you think, I sure would like to have that dress. And you're sitting there pondering on it. And the angel on the other side is saying, Mindy, you really need to go home and fix dinner for your family tonight. And you can talk to your husband about the dress and maybe still get the dress. But right now, you don't need to be stopping and trying on clothes. You need to go home and take care of your family. And the little devil on the other side saying, they'll wait. They'll be there when you get home. You really would look good in this.
And he says, it's on sale. You'd be saving your family money.
Yes. But this is more truth. If you are hearing a voice, it's either God or Satan, one or the other. It's nobody else is out there. And you can say, well, it's like I'm arguing with myself over this. No, God or Satan. Trying to talk to you through your spirit. Now, God can listen to your thoughts, read your thoughts. Satan cannot. He can plant thoughts in your mind, but he can't read your thoughts. That's the reason why you can pray silently and God hears you. But if you're going to talk to Satan, you've got to talk out loud, because he is, according to Scripture, the prince of the air. And so you've got to tell him over in Luke, the 10th chapter, Jesus tells his disciples, I have given you authority over Satan and his demonic forces. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We do the same thing that Jesus did. Jesus has authority and dominion over them. So do we. If we're walking with Jesus, we've got it. But what are we going to do with it? If we're going to exercise it, then we're coming up straight. If not, Satan is going to bowl us over and convince us to do wrong stuff. So it's about, what do you want to do? Now, since we're there, I'm going into something else here. back in January of 92, we went to a prayer seminar at North Richland Hills Baptist Church with Cecil McGee. Mm-hmm. You may remember back in those days. But what we learned in that seminar was about hearing God's voice. And I've had so many people say, well, I don't know if I can do this. Well, you got to be still and be quiet. Turn the radio off, the TV off, be still and quiet.
That's one thing with my kids. Like, we've had this conversation. Sometimes they're like, well, you say that God told you this, and I haven't heard him talk to me. So if I don't hear him talk to me, then maybe I'm not his. And it's like, no, baby. You're not ever still enough. Or you're
true.
Not. You're not. Yes. You know, because when they have so much energy, they just bounce from one thing to the
right.
other. And it's like, God talks to people who are paying attention and listening. He's not going to be talking to you while you're texting your best friend, while you're on Facebook, while you're watching. I mean, he could.
He's not going to scream.
Right.
He's going to speak quietly.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, go into your bedroom and close the door and lay across your bed. And get quiet, turn your mind off, and tell the Lord, say, Father, do you love me? And then be quiet. You will hear one of two things. If you're still in quiet, you will either hear him say, yes, my daughter, I love you, or love you, I don't even know you. One of the two. If he says, yes, my daughter, I love you, if he's calling you his daughter, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I can guarantee it, because you're talking to the one that writes in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
If he tells you, love you, I don't even know you, and in this seminar, we had one man that came back. It took him about 45 minutes to come back, because that's what the Lord told him. He had walked down an aisle, said a little prayer, filled out a little card, got a little wet, and he was going straight to hell because he did not have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Oh, and can I add in, because I've heard this story before, and it's one worth retelling. He also had served. He had been serving and praising his Jesus for
yes.
years.
He was a part of the choir. He taught Sunday school. He went to children's camp. He was very instrumental. But what happened, the story that he told himself was that when he was about 10 years old, a lot of the other kids came back from children's camp and was walking the aisle to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he didn't want to be left out.
Mm.
So he went along with the crowd. And he thought, well, if I'm good enough, this is not a salvation by works. It's a salvation by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back after he confessed his sins before the Lord and prayed to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So it's a good thing to find out who you are in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, after you do lay across your bed and he says, yes, my daughter, I love you. Yes, my son, I love you. You can further this relationship if you choose to.
Mm-hmm.
If I met the lady out front.
Yeah, Jackie, she's awesome.
Jackie is awesome. We conversed a little bit back and forth. We started building a relationship. If I'm talking to Jackie and she doesn't say anything, we're not building a relationship. I'm doing all the talking. Well, there's a lot of people that do a lot of praying, but they don't stop and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I was sitting at my computer, and I am 70 years old. I do have a hearing problem. And I was sitting there, and I heard this whisper. It was quiet. But Father said, son, come and visit with me. I got up out of my chair and went and laid across the bed, and I started visiting with him, and we were having a good time. Then he told me, he says, go get the apple of my eye. That's what he calls Karen. I think it's wonderful. And she spends a moment or two, and then she comes back and sits down at her computer and starts typing. Well, he is speaking through her spirit at her fingertips. It's not going by her brain.
Mm-hmm.
And she's typing away, and then she reads it later. Well, I asked him one time, I said, how come you give her the message instead of me? He said, she types better than you do. Oh, man, here we go again. But that's truth. She does type better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I cannot give a message to you or Karen, but I can give a message to you and Karen. You are one. This is pretty good. I like this. But we hear from God. We talk to God. And that's the reason why whenever on our last trip, he said, it was like Thursday or Friday, and he said, I want you to pack your bags next Wednesday. You're leaving town. Okay. There's no question. We're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
We went last night. We went out to eat. There's no question we went. Because he tells me, he tells her, and we confirm in each other. It is fun with this radio show. Your mom called and invited us to come. We made it a matter of prayer. Just laid it before him and walked off. Several days later, he said, I want you to go onto that radio show with Mindy. I have a message for both of you to speak. That's the reason why we're here. Now, I love you. That's not a question. But we are here because Father said go.
Mm-hmm.
And he directs our steps. Am I perfect at it? No. I'm still learning. But it works.
But and it was so exciting for me whenever, I don't remember if you had Facebooked or emailed or something, let me know that you would like, that he told you to come on the show. And it's like, you know, there's so much we do just because it's, you know, it's what we do. Okay, well, we have this time slot or we have that time slot or, you know, you have this ministry and why don't you, you know, and much of it is because Jesus has placed that story on that person's heart and he is
yes.
speaking through them. And so we bring them in and they're able to tell the story that he's shared with them and what he's doing. But I thought it was very cool that you specifically said, he told us that he has a message for us to share that day. So it's
exactly.
not that it's not the same as your ministry, but it just reminded me how he likes to do new things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he likes to speak truth in new ways to a whole new group of people. And how whenever you're listening for his direction, you know, he's going to give it to you.
He really is. And, you know, it gets down to the point, who do you belong to? Are you in control of your life? Are you commanding everything that's going to happen? Well, you can sometimes do pretty good, but you're also going to make a whole lot of mistakes. If you depend on the Lord to be in control of your life. And that goes back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We pray that every morning before we get out of bed. Because that's what we want to happen that day. And we want everything that we do to bring honor and glory to the Lord. He is directing our path. We want to be in his wake of going about our business, following him. Because the verse of scripture that goes along with our ministry name, Christ Kingdom Ministries, is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, in the beginning, we did a word search on that verse. And we came out, what is the kingdom of God? Well, I don't know. The kingdom of God translates into God's way of doing things.
Mm, I like that.
Seek ye first God's way of doing things. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Find out what God is doing and ask him if you can become a part of it. Because anything you try, he's already tried and it didn't work, or he's got it going and you need to pick up and go with him.
Well, and I'd really challenge, you're bringing up some things that really he's taught me in the last 5 years or so, that sometimes you're hurt and you're angry at God because of something that he's allowed to happen. And you're just thinking, I mean, what kind of God is this that allowed that? Well, I'm not really cool with you being that kind of God. I mean, like the God I thought you were was, you know, X, Y, Z. And at that time, every time now that something's coming at me and it's just like, oh, this just is not how I pictured it. This is not what I wanted to happen. I really try to get in the Word and say, God, obviously, I don't have a full understanding of who you are yet, because who I thought you were would mean that you would do this. But you've chosen to do something different. So I'm going to be in your Word. I'm going to be asking you to reveal to me, who are you really, not who have I kind of come to believe you are. And I think that sometimes, especially in different denominations, you kind of get to where, well, we've accepted this is who God is. This is how our God works. This is how he operates. It's how he does things. And then he does something out of that box. Mm-hmm. And we're all just like, he's not allowed to do that. And I didn't realize, you know, till much later that that's essentially setting yourself up as right. your own idol, yep. as, oh, yep. I would have made the better decision. And so now when I catch my brain, because, I mean, your brain tries to tell you he should have done it different, is, okay, let me delve into learning more about who he is, learning more about how he works, yes. and yeah. see what it is that I believe that isn't lining up with who he really is.
Yes.
You know.
Okay. Well, if you look over in James, it talks about that when you are tempted, it is not of God. God does not tempt anyone. Well, if it's not of God, then it's got to be of Satan. Well, if you look at Romans 8:28, all things work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even though God didn't cause it or put it on you, he can use it to help mold you into the woman that he wants you to be. Mm-hmm. So accept it. Don't fall into the trap, but know that God is going to use this for your betterment, to grow you in his strength and courage. So Satan lost again.
Yeah.
Totally and completely, he lost again. But you've got to understand the fact that Satan is a scumbag. He's stupid. He just hadn't got no sense at all. It's just who he is.
You know how we know that? Because he thought by going to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and saying, hey, I want to be you,
yes.
he was going to get somewhere.
No.
That he was actually good. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, most of us are pretty, we know not to go to our boss's office and say, you know what, I'm not okay with you being the boss anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to be equal or better than you. No, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But, and Satan tried this, and well, he and a third of the angels got kicked out. But I got news for the world. If a third of the angels got kicked out, that means two-thirds of them are on our side.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read the last part of the book. We win,
yep.
and Satan lost again, but he is trying to create havoc because he knows that he is the loser. And so he is trying to create all kinds of havoc. That's that caricature again of a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other whispering in your ear. And this is not just specially for men or for women. It's for mankind.
Well, and also it's not necessarily a bad thing that the devil character is whispering, because it says he comes to us as an angel
right.
of light. And the other day, David and I were talking about that, about sometimes you've set in your mind, this is what God wants us to do next. This is how we're going to be obedient. And then you'll see something like a really good deal. I mean, we're all people and we're just like, hey, if I could get half off of a Disney vacation, mm-hmm. I mean, who is going to say no to that? So there's these little distractions that come along and you think it's serving your family and you think it's part of what he has for you. And I'm starting to really, whenever I'm walking one way and then it's like, oh, wait, I have, this is a now thing. I must do this now. If whatever, start stopping and saying, God, is this from you? You
yes.
want to bless us this way?
Yes.
Or is this just a distraction from what I'm doing to obey you right now? And you can just give us that vacation at any point in time for whatever
exactly.
you want.
Yes.
So I don't have to be, you know, so on top of things that I don't ever miss a sale or I don't, you know, it's a really subtle thing when you're always trying to get a good deal and make your money go farther
yeah.
to be a good steward, because God's like, I already own it all. And you're not, that's not to be your focus.
Right.
Well, and what we do when we have a situation come up like that, either one of us, we will immediately hit the pause button and turn and look at the other one and say, here's something I just saw on the internet, or here's something that we got in the mail. What do you think about this? We need to pray about this, see what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Until she and I are both on the same page, hearing God say the same thing, we do not move. I don't care if you tell me that Disney vacation is for $10. It's not good enough for me to not have one spirit with my wife. And so, and people look at us like, y'all are strange. No, we have such a oneness between us. We have fun in life. And, I mean, this can even happen if we're traveling down the road on a ministry trip. And it's getting time to eat lunch. It's time for us to eat lunch. Where do you want us to eat lunch today? And if we don't hear anything, we keep traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he tells us, take this exit, go into town, and we drive by this restaurant, and he said, this is where I want you to stop. And I look at her, and she said, now, I'm going to give you an example of this. We were in Albuquerque, New Mexico years ago. And it was in the evening, and we start looking for some place to eat dinner. We don't have a pastor to take out. It's just us. And we're driving around, and we go by this seafood place. Well, we don't normally, the two of us, eat at seafood places because they're expensive. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was going to take a pastor there, not a question. We drive by, and she said, well, there's a seafood place. And, I'm not too sure about that. So we drive around. We see nothing. We come by it again. Well, there's a seafood place. Well, I'm just not sure about that. So we drive around. The third time we go by this place, and I said, I think we're supposed to stop there. She said, okay. Well, she's not giving me a hard time about this or anything. But there is a oneness of spirit about pulling in there. We drive in the driveway, and in the front door, now this is on a Friday night, I think, the place is packed. At the front door, a car backs out. So we park in the front door. We do that more than anybody would think. And we get out and we go in. And in most restaurants like that, your servers are in the low to mid 20 age range. Mm-hmm. Well, when we were seated at this table. And a lady in her 40s, mid upper 40s, came to serve us. And so we started a conversation. Of course, you know me, I'll talk to a fence post if it'll sit still. We started visiting with her, and Karen started visiting with her. Well, as we were eating our dinner, and she would come by, we found out that her daughter was having problems. I don't remember the whole story. She does. That's her story. Anyway, she's sitting there listening to this woman pour her heart out about this daughter. Well, when we got up ready to leave, well, I asked Father, I said, Lord, how much tip do I need to leave? 10% tip is not in my vocabulary. I asked God what he wants to do. Then I turned around and asked her. I said, honey, here's what God told me. What do you think? And she'll pause a minute, and she'll either say, that sounds good, or I really think you need to do more than that. But anyway, we discuss it, and we didn't leave it on the table. We went to her, and she turns around. I hand her tip, and she folds into my arms. Hmm. Whenever I turn her loose, she's over, and she just jumps in mama's arms. And it was a mama daughter touch is what it was. And we walked out the front door, and we looked at each other and says, you know, Father had an appointment in this restaurant, but we had to wait until the parking place was available and this lady had a table available before we walked in the restaurant. We have had that happen to us over and over and over again. What did we do? We listened to God, and we obeyed his command. Life is fun when you walk with us, because we're going to walk with Jesus.
Well, and because, too, the timing is so important. And, you know, in the Old Testament, there's so many times that it says, the Lord your God will fight for you. The Lord your God will fight for you. But you really, I've never really thought about, it's like, well, I wonder if David ever got up and was like, you know, I want to go take over those people over there, and I think the Lord God's going to fight for me, so let's go. Hmm. You know, you don't really see that. You see God saying, do this next, and I will fight for you.
Yes.
Or do this, you know, and it's like, so there was a Pastor Matt Oxley at the Met when we first went there. Now he's a pastor. They planted another church over in Lake Worth. But I think the first time we were there that he was talking about people who would start their day, and they would just be going along, doing what they do, and they'd be inviting Jesus to come with them. You know, Jesus, today I'm going to McDonald's this morning. You want to come along? You know, and then after that, Jesus, I'm heading to the grocery store. You know, will you come along and be with me? And he was just talking about the difference between that and before you go to McDonald's in the grocery store or wherever you're going, saying, I think that's what I'm doing today, but did you have anything mm-hmm. else you wanted me to do, or anything different you wanted me to do, because I'm going to be going with you today. And that was, it wasn't a new concept, but it really stuck out to me as I think, you know, especially when you've known him for a long time, you just get in the habit of just going and saying, come on, Jesus,
that's right,
we're going to have a good day, you know. And he's kind of like, well, yeah, we are, but we were going over here.
We live our life expecting the encounters that mm-hmm. the Lord has for us. Whether we go to Walmart, whether we're going to a restaurant, we expect that God already has an appointment an opportunity for us.
Yes.
We have had, there's no way to describe the number. We were in Walmart last week, and one of the workers, we had the opportunity to start investing and ended up sharing about the Lord and about what God has us doing. He was sharing what God's doing in his life. And for just that 5-minute window of time, we were able to touch his life. He touched ours. We've driven from here 1,000 miles for and encountered someone for a 5-minute window of time to share Jesus with them. And that is how we live, keeping his appointments, going where he wants us to go. And as we share with our children and grandchildren, we point them to him. We say, what does Jesus say? And we begin giving them scriptures and just saying, you need to pray. We know the power of prayer. We have seen the miracles. We have seen answered prayer. We know a little baby boy that's going home from the hospital today in answer to prayer. And so that is our desire. That's a part of spiritually adopting kids, but that's just a part of living the life of Jesus here on earth and being available for his appointments and opportunities. And that's how, when we on our trips, he has set up so many places for us to go, people for us to meet. But it's a 24/7, 7-day-a-week life in Jesus. And also, so many of our kids and grandkids that the Lord has given us have such, they're either living in difficult situations or have been very hurt. And they truly are looking for hope and truth. And that's what the Lord allows us to give them, to love them, to share with them the truth, to share with them what he has taught us through these years. And we learn every day. We have not arrived. We are still learning how to love him and serve him and live the life that he desires for us. One of the scriptures he has just been embedded in our heart in these last few years is Joshua 1:9. And it's, I've got it in a couple of translations, but it's, I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with us wherever we go. The Lord's, so many of our, the ones we minister to, pastor, I mean, you can apply across the board for pastors, for children, for people in any person that the Lord connects you with needs to hear about the love of Jesus. They need to know someone cares. We have a prayer list. We have a prayer ministry also. That's one of the other areas that the Lord really developed over these last 15 years. Now, we were people of prayer and encouragement before, when we worked in the church and worked with senior adults, and I was a part of the Barnabas ministry and would write notes to those going on mission, send notes to people. Well, the Lord already had that in our heart to do that. But then he also gave us an intercessory prayer ministry where we pray daily for over 3,000 people. And that's mind-boggling if you think about it.
It is.
I mean, But fortunately, he also taught us how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he equips the anointed. He equipped us for the work that he wanted us to do. And so he taught us how to pray for that many people. And he said, if you will speak that person's name into my presence, release them. I know their needs. I know my perfect will for their life. I take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he takes half the list. It's all on computer. We add people daily to our prayer list. And he takes half the list. I take half the list. And as we pray, we speak people's names by name, not just so-and-so and family. If we've got everybody's name, just like with you and your family,
mm-hmm.
we speak every person's name.
And one of the things that people, they have a struggle with, if I call Mindy's name before God's throne, and he knows you better than you know yourself, if I start trying to tell him where you've got a problem, I'm wasting my time and his. If I start trying to tell him how to fix you, I'm wasting my time and his. He says, don't go there. Well, this 3,100 people that we're praying for takes about 35 to 40 minutes. That's all. And so I'm sitting there saying, okay, people, pastors, why are you not praying for your congregation? And they look at me like a deer in a headlight. And it takes a commitment, yes. But most people we found, they want all the juicy tidbits of what's wrong with Mindy so that I can tell God what's going on in her life. I don't care what's going on with Mindy. I just know I love Mindy. That's enough right there. And so we get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one Saturday night. Yeah, we came in very late. And it was about 2 o'clock when we finished our prayer time. And the Lord told me, he said, son, yes, Father. He said, I'm so pleased that you completed the assignment that I had given you. I said, thank you, Lord. He said, no, you don't understand, son. You have people on your list that would not have survived until morning had you not prayed for them tonight. Oh, my goodness.
Hmm.
A few years later, I was sharing this with a lady in North Carolina. And she looked at me, and I mean, she was serious. She said, I am one of those that would have died that night. I know the night it was.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So it is a commitment that there is not, for instance, for you and your family, there is not a day when we have a hiccup that we don't pray for you. It happens. Because Father has told us to do that. And it goes back to seek ye first God's way of doing things, mm-hmm. the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's fun to do because I like being obedient to the Lord.
Well, and I think that by your obedience, I think he honors you with expanding who he allows you to get to pray for and then see what he's doing.
He does bring people to us.
So he gives you that privilege.
Yes.
To where if you were just like not being obedient and faithful, then he'd be like, you know, I don't want to put too many people on Charlie's list. He hadn't quite got done what I already told him. Well, we're going to go to a break, but I hope that you guys will join us again here on Bring It Radio, right here in the Fishbowl Radio Network, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy. Hey, this is Mindy, and you are listening to Bring It Radio right here on the Fishbowl Radio Network. And I'm so glad that you've joined us today. Today, I have two fabulous guests, Charlie and Karen Tackett, and they have a ministry called Christ Kingdom Ministries. And we've just been talking about the love of Jesus, his calling, and how he equips us when he's called us to do things, and about hearing his voice and following him. So I want to be sure they have plenty of time to keep sharing the message that God laid on their heart, because they didn't just say, oh, Mindy has a radio show, I guess we'll come because we're supportive and all that, because they would have if I'd called them and said please, they would have shown up. But they had been asked, my mom had told them about it, I think I'd mentioned it to them at some point, and then God told them at one point, you are to go on the radio station. I have a message for the people listening today. So if you're listening today, I want you to be aware that God Almighty spoke to them about, yes, I want you to share with my people, the people I love, these things. And so this isn't just we're like, well, we'll pick something good in the Bible and talk about it. You know, it's on purpose. And so thank you for joining us today. And if you miss any of it, you can go to bringitradio.com and we will get the podcast up soon. So here's Charlie and Karen, and y'all just take it away.
Well, a while ago we were talking about hearing God's voice and obeying his commands. And I want to go back to the ministering to pastors. A number of years ago, we were in North Carolina and visiting with pastors and churches. And we had a lady here in the local area. Her mom was a member of a church in Florida. And they were having some struggles. The pastor was having some struggles. And so she called me. We're very close to her. She called us and said, here's the situation. Can I call, have your permission to call the pastor and tell him about you and what you do? I said, go ahead. So she turns around and calls the pastor and gives him the story of who we are and what we do and ask his permission to tell us his story. And he said, by all means. Well, she did it right. It takes extra time, but she did it right. And so she calls me back and she tells me the struggles that he's having and gives me his name and phone number. So I turn right around and I call him. Over the next couple of weeks, we talk every 3 or 4 days. And we build a relationship. It's kind of what we were talking about a while ago about building a relationship with Jesus. There has to be a two-way conversation here. It's not just, well, I got on my knees and I prayed. Well, did you listen while God talked? Mm-hmm. And it's got to be a two-way relationship to build a personal relationship. So I was visiting with this pastor and we were sharing back and forth and built this relationship. So on Monday when we were ready to leave North Carolina, we're loading a car, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to go to Florida. And I said, well, I was really planning on going to Alabama, and that's not really on my way. He said, son, yes, Father, I want you to go to Florida. Yes, sir. So I picked up the phone then, and I called this pastor, and I said, it'll take me the better part of 2 days to get to your town. On Tuesday, can I take you out, you and your wife out to dinner? Well, yeah, I guess so. So I said, well, I'll call you when I get in town. So we hung up and we traveled at 3:05. On Tuesday afternoon, we walked into our hotel room. And I picked up the phone and called him. And he says, well, I'm terribly sorry, but I have a meeting tonight I can't get out of. My wife's got a meeting tonight she can't get out of. We are not available. And I said, what are you doing right now? And there was a pause. And he says, well, nothing. I said, are you and your wife available? Can we meet at the steakhouse on such and such a road? Well, yeah, let me check with her. Good man. Mm-hmm. So he checked with her, and she said, well, yeah, we can do that. Do you know, Mindy, how many people are at a steakhouse at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Not many.
You and the staff. That's it. So at 4 o'clock, we meet at the steakhouse, and we have supper. Pretty good deal. And we sit in this booth, and we talk, and we further build our relationship. He was having so many problems in the ministry, he was ready to leave. Mm. And she was ready to open the door and let him out. Mm. It was tough. We finished and we got outside and he looked at me, and over across the parking lot a little ways, Karen's talking to his wife and embracing her, and they are just really fellowshipping. He looked at me and he says, why did you drive 2 days for an hour and a half meeting with me and my wife? And I looked at him and I said, my money, my time, and my car belong to Jesus.
Yes.
It makes no difference. He said, you spent a lot of money driving down here and then you bought dinner. I said, yeah, I did. But obviously, since the Lord himself told me to come down here, you are worth it to him. Mm-hmm. And he cares about you. The man lost it right there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet he did the tears. Just
yes. But we helped them walk through some a lot of problems. They had some other problems later. He called me up, Brother Charlie, here's what's going on. What do I do? And he said 40% of his congregation was fixing to walk out. And he says, what do I do? I said, you stand at the back door as they walk out and you speak a blessing over each one of them. Then you go back into your congregation and you start preaching on love and forgiveness and prayer and do not allow one word of gossip. He said, this isn't going to be easy. I said, no, but if you do what the Lord tells you to, he will take care of it. He said, if they walk out, some of these are my biggest givers. What am I going to do? I said, whose church is that?
Yeah.
Well, it's God's church. Yeah, you're right. Well, 3 months later, we pulled into this town. And I called him. And he says, I want to meet you at Cracker Barrel for supper. I need to talk to you. Okay. He said that the Sunday before, the membership had grown back to where it was before the people walked out, and they baptized 3 new believers that Sunday morning.
Within 3 months.
Within 3 months. Wow. And I asked him, I said, how's your money situation? He looked at me and grinned, and he says, we were never late on one payment. I said, isn't God good when you do things his way? And he looked at me and he says, how did you know about this? And I looked at him and grinned and I said, me and Jesus are real close. I don't have that kind of wisdom, Mindy. I don't proclaim to. But I told him what the Lord told me to tell him.
Well, and I know that I've called you guys before saying, please tell me what to do. And y'all haven't always cooperated. sometimes you get off the phone
and you're like,
they were supposed to have the answer, but your answer is always, if he hasn't given you something specific, is get in the word, listen to the Father. He wants to give you wisdom about this, and we believe he is giving it to you right now, and we will be praying.
That's right.
And you always encourage and just go, you know, he wouldn't have us praying for you every day for years, you know, so that then he can just drop you
That's right.
And it all fall apart. And so after talking to you sometimes, then you're kind of like, okay, Jesus, you know, I appreciate that y'all are somebody that if people run to you before maybe they ran to Jesus, you still direct them back to him.
Yeah.
But I also love that you don't wait for somebody to call you and say, I'm desperate, dude. Like I need you to drive out here and whatever, because I don't know about y'all, but I don't know many people in ministry that would really ask for someone to do that, because they're so used to giving and ministering that they would think, I shouldn't inconvenience anybody else. So I'm supposed to be ministering and helping their life be better.
Well, and it's along that same line, Mindy. We give and we give, but then there's times when we need to, I call it filling my bucket. Mm-hmm. There's times my bucket gets empty and I need to fill it up. And we have people in churches that we go to for that reason and purpose. We can go in there and not realize that we're drained, but yet we are so full of the Holy Spirit when we leave.
And the Lord had something just
exactly,
for you.
Like, exactly. Mm-hmm. One of the things, now, if people ask us and the Lord gives us direction, we'll share that. That's not a problem. But if he doesn't, I take them to James 1, verse 5. Mm-hmm. It says in the New Living Translation, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. Ah, I believe it means you need to hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I share that as Father gives direction. I share that verse with so many people because it is, I want to, I love sharing wisdom with you, but I would rather you hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's about. And then over in Deuteronomy, I love Deuteronomy 28.
Oh, I know. And actually, earlier you were talking about you guys going here or having lunch there or, you know, meet God, having these appointments just all over and following him and it being random. And I was thinking, it's Deuteronomy 6 all over again, because your adopted children and your adopted grandchildren.
Absolutely.
And the ones you don't even know yet, you are training them as you go along the road, as you stop to eat, as you lay down. I mean, like, you're just going, well, God's going to do it just in the middle of life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, in Deuteronomy 28, first and second verse, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today." Now, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. These are things he tells you to do today.
Okay.
All his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, it lists off the blessings up through verse 14. Verse 15 says, It shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Okay, the third through the 14th verse was the blessings. The 16th verse through verse 68 are the curses. Most people don't want to go there. Do you want the blessings or do you want the curses? And everybody says, oh, I want the blessings. I want the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's something you've got to do. The more obedient you are, the more curses and more blessings you get. The more disobedient you are, the more curses you get. Now I've got to put a point of wisdom in here. Do you know what the word kahusha means?
I have no idea.
If you Google kahusha, you will find nothing.
I was going to say, how are they going to Google if they can't spell it?
This is a Charlie word. It's spelled K-A-W-H-O-O-S-H-A. Kahusha. Now, if you're in San Diego in June, and it is so fine, you're out on the beach and you've got your little blanket out there and there's people playing in the water and you think, I want to go play in the water. So you go out in the water and you get knee deep. And this is fun. Your kids are out there with you. I'm going to go out a little deeper. So you get out waist deep. This is fun. I want to go a little further. So you get out chest deep in the water. And you are really, the water is warm. You're having so much fun. Uh-oh. You look out to the west and you see a 4-foot wave coming. Now, you want to turn around and you want to start heading back towards the shore. If you're chest deep in water, you're not going to go very fast. And that wave is going to catch up with you and overtake you. Okay, that is what this is talking about. These blessings shall overtake you. They're going to kahusha you. There's nothing you can do about it. They're going to overtake you and just roll and tumble you. That's what is going to happen if you strive to obey the commandments that God is giving you. The blessings shall overtake you. Okay, let's go to the but. If you do not obey the commandments, these curses shall overtake you. Same thing. That's my word, kahusha, and I give permission to not only you, but everyone who's listening to us, feel free to use that word. God gave it to me, and I'm willing to share it. But that's the importance of hearing God's voice. You can say, well, I'm doing pretty good without doing that. You're missing out.
Yeah, well, and sometimes, you know, something's wrong.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, things just, they just aren't working and you don't always know why. And
right.
Really, this word for this year, He keeps giving me the word remember, and he did it again yesterday at Bible study. We all draw a little piece of paper out of this thing, and there's all different kinds of words. And I thought, now is he going to give me remember? And I thought, that's probably not even in there. That has nothing to do with what we're doing here. And yep, says remember. Wow. Sometimes he wants you to remember what he's told you. What he's told you to be obedient to.
Yeah.
And what he's told you to follow. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he gives us so much, and life can be so rich and full that you can kind of just go, oh, well, that was nice, and kind of miss the what you needed to do in response.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, well, but things aren't turning around like they're supposed to. And I feel like he keeps going, so remember what we've already talked about.
Exactly.
You know, and be obedient. And I hadn't realized that there were areas that I hadn't followed through that he told me about. But it's been very interesting since he said, remember. And I think that it's so nice that we have the Bible. Like, he didn't, you know, like, they didn't have to go, now, what was the third commandment? Or, I mean, like, at that time, he wrote it down for them with his own hand, you know. And his word is like that. He's written down what will bring his blessing and what will protect us. And some people would say, okay, if God's love, why would he have more curses than blessing? And I'm going to submit, and I'm going to have Charlie and Karen tell me what they think. I'm going to submit to you guys, I think it's because he knows that if we don't follow the laws of nature and the rules he put into place that he gave us to protect us, those curses are just, it's like gravity. It's just going to happen. It's not because he wants anything bad for you. The reason he's a God of love is he told you about it.
Well, where do the curses come from if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God? You are disobedient, you are rebellious, and you are just turning your back on God. If you do that, Satan is going to take control of your life. If you are facing God, if you're striving daily to focus on what God wants you to do, you have a heart of obedience and following his commands, Satan is blocked out. Now, does Satan still try to get you? Yep. But yet you are focusing, and I tell people all the time, if you're having a struggle, it's time to sing Jesus Loves Me.
Mm-hmm.
And people look at me kind of, well, I don't feel like singing. I did not ask you whether you felt like it or not. I told you to sing. Now, do you want to hear from me or not? If you don't, I'm going to hang up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are struggling and you go to the necessary room, and you look in the mirror and you start singing Jesus Loves Me, it's going to change your focus. Your circumstances may stay the same for right now, but where is your focus? Got a story to tell. One of our daughters lives in Missouri. She was having an argument with her brother, and they weren't swinging, but they were having knockdown drag out with words. Was at that time she worked at a TV station, and she would call me on the way to work. So she called me, and she goes to work at 4:30, so about 5 minutes before she calls. And she's going on and on and on and on about he said this and I said that and bloody, bloody, blah. I just let her go. And I said, called her name, and I said, where are you at right now? Well, I'm pulling in the parking lot. Oh, good. I said, have you parked your car yet? No, I just parked it. I'm getting out. Okay. I said, between where you are and the door of the station, I want you to start singing Jesus Loves Me. I don't want to. Did not ask you if you wanted to. I said, do it. Okay. And I said, every time you look in the mirror tonight while you're working, I want you to sing Jesus Loves Me. Do I have to? Yeah. So she goes in. About 8:30, she calls me. She said, Papa? I said, yeah. I need to share something with you. Okay. She said, when I walked in the door of the TV station, everybody looked at me and called her by name and said, I don't know what you've done, but you just look gorgeous tonight. Oh, I just walking through life. And she said, throughout the whole evening, every time somebody'd come by, they'd call her name and say, you just look so gorgeous tonight. I don't know what you've done, but it's just super. She called me up at 8:30 on her break, and she said, I don't know who told you to do that, but she said, wow, that really works. It didn't change her relationship with her brother, but it changed her focus.
Mm-hmm.
And her focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And there we are, right there.
Well, and you make me want to tell a story. I'm going to try to keep it brief because it's such an important truth. Whenever I was still just in a lot of pain, I actually had put something on Facebook about it, just something like, somebody pray for me today, or I don't even know what I put. And a dear friend from when I was a kid wrote me and put, are you in pain? And I was like, am I in pain? I mean, like, dude, I'm about to die, you know? And they wrote the sweetest thing back. And they said, you know, whenever I've been in that place where I was really going through something,
yeah,
God just gave me the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
It works.
And so they wrote out all the lyrics for me. And I have not forgotten. I mean, like, because in the lyrics of that song, it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full,
yes,
in his wonderful face.
Yes.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And at first, when I just read it, I kind of like, I know that song. I mean, I know, but he's really taught me so much about learning to look full,
yes,
in,
yes,
his face. And to look full in his face, yes, you can't be like bringing all your problems with you in your peripheral vision.
Right.
To look full in his face is to say, you're bigger and stronger than anything. So I don't have to keep track of anything. I can just be with you right now.
Right. Yes. Well, Karen told me during our break a while ago, she said, I want you to tell this story. So I have to be obedient. My wife has suggested, and I say, yes, ma'am. Last year was an interesting year for us. And in January of last year, I had emergency brain surgery. Mm. And we went to the hospital, and they shipped us to Harris Hospital downtown. En route, the Lord told Karen, said, this is not an illness unto death. He has too much to do for me before Jesus comes. And so the stress of her just flowed out.
Mm.
We got down there and they did surgery, which the bottom line is, I've got one more hole in my head than you do in yours. And they were looking, normally you stay in the hospital 1 to 2 weeks, you have stroke-like symptoms. And they kept, doctors and nurses kept coming in ICU looking at me like, you don't look right. You don't, you're not lopsided. And so it was interesting. I had surgery on Friday. On Monday, I went home. And they just could not hardly believe that.
Now, how many days is that?
Friday.
Wow. That's less than four,
three,
right?
Yeah,
three.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they came in, this little Oriental nurse came in to see me in my room on Monday morning, and she says, what's your goals for today? And I looked at her, and she said, no, I really want to know what your goals are. And I said, I want to get ready and go home. I said, is that realistic? She said, we'll see. And it wasn't long. The surgeon came in about an hour later, and he said, I understand you want to go home. I said, you got it, doc. He said, I've signed the papers. Then the internist came in and said, I understand you want to go home. And I said, you got it, doc. He said, I've signed the papers. Before, within an hour, you're going to go home.
Wow.
And this is much less than a week has traveled. Well, while we were there on Sunday night, I had a young woman that walked in my room with a Baptist hymnal tucked under her arm. And she said, the Lord told me to come and sing you a song. And she said, what do you want me to sing you? And I said, sing me Jesus Loves Me. Well, she opened her hymn book, and there it was, I think all four or five verses, and she began to sing. The door of my room was open. I don't know. I'm sure that it flowed down the hallway. And the woman I'm talking about was Mindy that came to sing for me that Sunday night. Mm-hmm. The presence of God was in that place. The presence of God was in me and everything that was going on in that place. The joy of the Lord was my strength. I had just had brain surgery. Went home the next day because the healing touch of the Lord himself touched me. It was an interesting year. In March, I had prostate surgery. That was tough too. But my beloved took care of me and watched over me and ministered to me. And all through both stays in the hospital, the Lord gave me words of appreciation and encouragement for every person that came through my door, and it astounded me. But what happens when you're in the hospital most time? You're grumping, you're in pain, it's a bad situation. Well, I don't want to do that again, but yet it was a good situation. And Mindy, you were a part of that situation because you were obedient to what the Lord told you to do. It's just what we've been talking about.
Well, and you guys had talked about, why would you drive here for 5 minutes or whatever? And I was in your room less than 15, probably.
Yeah.
And then I had to go get people from school, or there was something else I was juggling that day. But I thought the presence of the Lord allowed me to get a parking space, to get to your room, and then back to my car and out of there, because the hospital district confuses the heck out of me.
A lot of this, Mindy, is centered on love and forgiveness. The Word says the greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot pray for someone if you don't love them. Not going to happen. One of the scriptures that, and I can only speak from man's point of view on this, it is in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. I'm going to stop right there. There is no way that I can understand Karen. She is a woman. Mm-hmm. And I told the Lord one day, I said, I don't understand that woman you gave me. He said, I got news for you, son. She doesn't understand you either. I said, whoops. Okay. Well, let's go back to this. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If when I pray for people, and we do this every night, every morning, I want something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In order for me to be in right standing with the Father, I have to be in right standing with her. And we've had times in our living room where there was a fraction between us. We don't start prayer time until we take care of that. Now, we may not settle every issue, but we make sure that we are in love with each other before we start praying. Because I want my prayers to have strength and courage and effect on the people I'm praying with. You can do it or you cannot do it. It's up to you. But otherwise, if you're just going to be praying up one side and down the other, but then, oh man, what about, well, that old lady that lived across the street from us when I was growing up, she hurt my mama's feelings. She made my mama cry. I hate her to her dying day. You got a problem with your prayer life, because over in 1 John, God's word says, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, you can't do that. It is about love and forgiveness. That's where our strength and courage as born-again believers comes from, love and forgiveness. On our adopted children and grandchildren, I'm not going to criticize you. You're a grown woman. All you need is a hug. Your mama raised you. It's a good thing. It is not our job to criticize someone. Our job is to love them. That's what we do. If you won't be criticized, I'll take you to the Word, and you can study the Word and let God criticize you. It's not my job. Love and forgiveness. If you look at Jesus, when he was here on earth, he was full of love and compassion. Read the gospel. Read his life.
Well, and whenever the woman where they were going to stone her because she'd been found and caught in adultery, how many of us would think, okay, well, we can love her, but maybe we should sit down with her first and find out how she got here and how's she going to do this different from now on? And does she know it's wrong, or was she not? Jesus didn't do any of that.
Well, I had a situation with my dad. We were separated for a number of years. And I went before the Lord and I asked him, he said, I want you to love your dad. And I said, I don't even like him. He said, my word doesn't command you to like your dad. My word commands you to love your dad. I told him, I said, Lord, I've got a problem here. Can you help me with this? Whenever God tells you in his word or by his mouth to do something according to his word and you're struggling with it, ask God to help you do it. He will help you. Mm-hmm. In about a week or so, I was able to go back to him and say, Lord, you've taught me how to love my dad. I still don't like him. He said, that's all right. Love him. Now I want you to pray for him. Okay, what do you want me to pray for him about? His salvation. I said, well, Lord, I've been told all my life that he was a believer. And he said, his name is not written in my Lamb's Book of Life. So Karen and I started praying daily for him. Fast forward, 7 months before he died, my dad prayed to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I was there. I saw the power of God fall on that man. I had a godly father for 7 months of his life. I got my blessing. The day that he was baptized, we went to a place and had lunch. And about mid-afternoon, we had to leave. And I went over to tell him, I said, Dad, we've got to go. We got some things to do, but I just want you to know that I love you. Mindy, for the first time in my life, my dad looked up at me and he says, I love you too, my son. There was lots of tears shed that day. But I truly believe a big part of dad being in heaven today is because we were obedient to hear God's voice and pray for dad.
So when God told you his name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, did you call him that day? And did you say, you wouldn't believe what God just told me? I mean, like he says, no. You're not in the book and you really need to get in the book. I don't know if you've read scripture lately, but this is a serious issue. So that's not what happened.
No, that's not what happened. It was several years later.
But didn't you want to do that?
No, because I still didn't like him. It was several years later, my brother-in-law called me and said, you need to go see your dad. And I said, you know the rules. He doesn't want to see me. Mm-hmm. He said, I understand that. I know that, but it's time for you to go see your dad. So I went to see him. And he looked up at me and he said, I really was not looking for you to come today, but I'm glad you did. So I went about every 2 weeks, and then he had me bring Karen. And one day we were there, and I said, Daddy, I need to ask you a question. I said, have you ever in your life prayed to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? He looked me eyeball to eyeball, and he said, no. He said, when my mother died when I was 14 years old, I went to the altar a number of times and never came away satisfied. I started sharing Jesus with him. My brothers-in-law, they would pick up the thread and they would do likewise. And that's when my mother died on Easter that year. And my cousin who was the spiritual patriarch of the family came down from Arkansas for the funeral. And Dad said, I want to see him before he leaves. And we walked in on Wednesday morning, and within a minute, they were over in the corner, and my cousin was leading him in a sinner's prayer. And we saw the effects of that come down on my dad. Personality changed immediately. He turned in from being rude, crude, and uncouth, one of the most lovable old men you ever saw.
Well, I love what you said about him saying he'd been to the altar
yes.
multiple times during yes. a season in his life, but he never came away satisfied.
Right.
And I think that's something that sometimes we don't pay attention to because we're busy, and then there's something else to do and whatever. So sometimes when you go to Jesus and you're like, something's not right, you got to give him time. You got to be asking him to tell you, to change you. And I think sometimes we interrupt our own process because right. it's kind of painful and it's kind of uncomfortable. And I was going to do that, but now I'm getting a little uncomfortable. So,
well, he told me, he said, I really thought that I could get into heaven on Mama's coattail. And he said, whenever she died, I realized that I could not do that. It was me and Jesus one-on-one. And, I mean, by that time, he was being very open in his conversation, and I was rejoicing in the Lord, because it gets down to the point, Mindy, it's not important of who leads them in a sinner's prayer.
Right.
I planted seeds.
Mm-hmm.
I did what Father wanted me to do. Somebody else gets the harvest, doesn't bother me a bit.
Oh, I know. You're just like, there was a harvest.
Ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can draw you to Father's throne.
Mm-hmm. A minister told us years ago that a person will hear about Jesus seven times before they receive him. And so that was so encouraging. And this man taught evangelism at a college. And he said, it doesn't matter where you are in that seven. Tell people about Jesus. Mm. Because whether you're number one, whether you're the one that gets to lead them in the prayer, you're planting the seeds of love and faith and truth. Just when God gives you the opportunity to speak the name of Jesus, to love someone, to share with him, to speak life, do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wherever you are, whatever situation. I think the Lord has so placed it in our heart that now more than ever, we must just be obedient and be about his business. And whatever he has is like him telling us to come here today just to share what he's doing in our life, to speak life and truth into the people who are listening, to say it works God's way.
Yeah.
His word is truth. And here's how he has walked us through 70 years for him, almost 68 for me. And we've been married 46 years. And
you brought that up, honey. I want to tell people, we are still on our honeymoon. We decided years and years ago we're going to stay on our honeymoon for the first 50 years and then just start over.
Well, they figure if they have to hang out that long, they might as well have a really good time the whole time.
We started working together in 1992. And since then, we have worked 24/7. Now, every once in a while, she lets me go to the hardware store and count nuts and bolts and washers and leave her alone for a bit. But the thing is, in our marriage, how do you make a godly marriage work? You work at it every day.
Well, and that's something I want to be sure our listeners know. Since I've known Charlie and Kieran a long time, and I've sat on their couch and asked them questions whenever I was a newlywed, and then after I had kids, they're not two people that are wearing identical clothes today and fix their hair just the same way. And, you know, like, just everything lines up. All their hobbies are exactly the same. And that they're not like these supernatural people that God just placed together, two people that had no different interest at all, no different personality at all. They're so complementary to each other, but you guys are really different from each other. But yet God has worked this oneness in your passion for him and your passion for others to know him, that I think that has allowed y'all to grow into this working together in such a complementary way.
Mm-hmm. And it is, since we are different, but yet we are one.
Mm-hmm.
People look at us and they on a regular basis, whether we're in a grocery store or restaurant or what, says, how do you guys do this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we trust God. We walk with God. Every other word is going to be God.
Well, and you take what she says as something that God may be saying to you, and you say, Father, is that from you? Because you gave her to me.
Exactly.
And well, she does the same.
The first thing I had to teach her, she was a husband pleaser. She wanted to do anything to make me happy. And I had to tell her, I love that role in her, but if we're trying to make a decision, I want you to listen to God. And if God tells me I'm off base, I want you to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to learn how to do that because she is that important to me. I want to hear what she has to say, what she thinks. If she says we're having goulash for supper tonight, I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I'll just go along with the program. But we complement each other But yet, one of the things that happens in our house, when the mail comes, honey, go through the mail. She says, that's not my job. Phone's ringing. Honey, answer the phone. That's not my job. She works on she has a lot of picture cards with scriptures on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's her job. That's not my job. That's her job. But we have differences in things that we do, but yet we complement each other. And to me, that's the way it's supposed to be. And I am to honor her. I've been speaking in churches about husband-wife relationships. And I will ask the ladies, I said, before I start, here's my wife right down here at the front, because you're going to look at her to see if I'm telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Women do that all the time. They get real sheepish. And I'll ask them, I said, if you had a husband that loved you as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, would you have a problem submitting to him totally and completely? 100% of them shake their head. Nope, not a problem in the world. The problem with women submitting to their husbands is the fact that men do not love their wives in that manner. All right? Women have their responsibilities too. But as we grow, and I strive to be the man God created me to be, and she strives to be the woman that God created her to be, we blend together. She is my helpmeet. Where I have a shortness in my life, she fills in the gap. When she has a shortness in her life, it's my responsibility to fill in the gap, to complement each other, to help each other. Do we understand how each other work? No. We're wired different. Now, men may not realize that, but every woman that's listening to us right now is probably shaking her head up and down. Yep, you're right. But that's God made us separately and differently because he wanted us to come together as one and be complete.
Well, and Charlie, will you talk to someone who's out there and they're single? They haven't found the person that God has for them. And so whenever you guys pray and you pray separately and then God tells you something and then he confirms it through both of you and all, and they may think, well, who am I supposed to confirm this with? That's just Jesus with them, right?
If they are a single person, they need more than ever to be on their face before God listening to what he is telling them. Now, if they would like to have someone confirm what God is telling them, then they need to ask God to, who should I go to?
Hmm.
There's so many people that, and they've come to us. Well, I need a prophetic word from you. You do not need me to tell you what God wants you to hear. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was rent. You have access to Jesus, to God. You don't need to go to a pastor. You don't need to go to a prophet. If you come to me and I speak a word of prophecy over you and it confirms what the Lord has already told you, that's a good thing. But I am not the one that's supposed to tell you what God is saying and expect you to obey.
Mm-hmm.
We have had words of prophecy from God from about the last 15 to 20 years. And I go back and ask him, he said, everything I have promised you, you will experience in this life. And I said, okay. Well, it's interesting. There has been a prophecy that's been published over the last few months that fell into perfectness with what God's been telling us for 15 to 20 years.
Hmm.
I'm getting ready to receive. Yes. It's going to be so much fun because I can tell you, there's fixing to be things happen this year that you've never seen before. Trust me, God is ordaining it. We are in the last of the last days. It's not going to be too long before Jesus is going to come and rapture us out of here as believers.
See, I start shaking on it. I'm like, yes, this is going to be so cool.
It is going to be super awesome. But he has much for us to do,
yeah.
Me and Karen and you and every other believer out there, before that time comes. And it's going to be an exciting time. Things are still going to keep going down.
Mm-hmm.
But God's hand is on us. Now, for us, I see so many advertisements about buying non-perishable food. Mm-hmm. I went to the Lord and asked him. I said, am I supposed to do this? Number one, I don't have the money for it. And he said, son, I always pause because when he says son, it's fixing to come. He said, if food gets short, I still know how to make manna. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And I look somewhere else.
Well, I'm thinking it probably tastes better than all that other stuff.
You tell me. But one of the songs, and we didn't play it today, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Mm-hmm. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's where I stand, Mindy. We've talked so much today about hearing God's voice and ministries and operating in what God has told us to do. Our whole life, mine and Karen's life, is about hearing God's voice and obeying His commands. It's not just for me and Karen. It's for every born-again believer that's out there today. It is His way. You look through Scripture, King David did the same thing. He listened to God's voice and walked it. Now, Moses is the only one I know of that heard an audible voice, so don't go there. He speaks through your spirit. Karen told him one time, said, Lord, Charlie's getting a little hard of hearing it. I'm afraid he'll miss your voice. And God told her, he said, honey, he doesn't listen to me with his ears. He listens through his spirit. Mm-hmm. When God whispers, I hear. And when I confirm whatever he tells me with her, or she confirms whatever he tells me with me, we are one in the spirit. We're walking together with Jesus. Satan can go to hell in a handbasket. He's going to anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's just the way it is. But that's the way it works. So I encourage everyone out there today, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mm-hmm. Get on your face before God and ask him, Father, do you love me? And listen to him say, yes, my daughter, yes, my son, I love you. And walk it out. Because it's a life that has no end. I belong to Jesus.
Well, and like we talked about earlier, if you hear him say, I don't know who you are, or right. You're not mine. Mm-hmm. Don't let that go. Oh no, well, oh my goodness, don't let fear take a hold with that.
No.
Just go,
right.
Well, Father, I want that changed right now. I want to be yours.
Ask forgiveness for unbelief. And then invite Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of your life. And then, you know, listen to God, and then ask you, after you ask him, pray to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You don't have to clean yourself up before this happens. God's right. In the cleaning business.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask him again, Father, do you love me? And walk in newness of life as a born-again believer. It works.
Well, and expect to hear from him. That's one thing I love about your story and your ministry, is you guys have the expectation that he is speaking to you today.
Yes.
You have the expectation that he's going to speak to you tomorrow, this evening. Just you're available. And when he speaks to you, you're listening for it. And I think that that is something that we all need to be aware that, like, if we're not listening for it, we are missing out.
Yes.
And men, when you get home tonight, go to your wife, wrap your arms around her, kiss her and hug her, and tell her, I love you.
Yes.
That will pay huge dividends. Men don't understand that, but yet it is very necessary. Women need to hear from their husbands, I love you, honey. It is an awesome thing because it creates a greater foundation for her to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our responsibility, to love our wives, but we need to tell them that we love them.
And don't get so focused on the circumstances of your life that you forget what God has already told you. In past time, when you said, remember, one of the things that helped with the pastors that we have talked to that have been discouraged, we say go back and remember what God told you.
Yes.
When he first told you he wanted you to be a minister, when he first called you to pastor, go back and remember God hasn't changed his mind.
Right.
He gave you, he talked to you, he told you, he drew you, he called you. Remember what he told you. And because we can't get just consumed and overcome with the circumstances happening, you've got to just stop, back up, go to the Lord, and just give it to him, and then just lay yourself before mm-hmm. him and remember what he's told you.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate it. If you guys have been listening and you want to learn more about their ministry, you can go to their website, which is welovepastors.org. But as they mentioned, they don't just love pastors.
Right.
God has given them several different ministries of prayer and of encouragement, of adopting children and ministering to pastors. So you can go to their website and check that out. And if you missed any of the podcast, in a few weeks, we'll have this up for you to enjoy at bringitradio.com. And I hope that you just had a great day, and I'm so privileged that you listened in, and I hope that your spirit and your heart was encouraged, because, man, hearing you talk about Jesus coming back soon, it gets me all kinds of excited, because, you know, life is really good, and he's given us so many blessings, but whenever you've spent time looking fully in his face, and then you hear you're going to get to, like, in person, like, just look fully at all of him, it's really exciting. So thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week between 11 and 1 on Wednesday. Next week, I have Jessie Beebe coming, and she's the founder of Kidstand Ministries, and she's going to share with you guys about where they teach and what they're teaching to kids and how they're encouraging kids, and I hope you guys tune in so that it's just an example of somebody else listening to God's voice and following what he said and just walking with him. So have a great day.